The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
This land is my land. This land is your land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Doom. I forgot it did that. Whoa.
There is. Yeah, it's going down. It is going down today.
Did all kids still sing that in elementary school in the States? We grew up singing that like every year.
Every year? I remember singing that. We did like Ain't No Mountain Too High Enough because they were like, mountains are high. This is educational. We sang songs for a lot of reasons. Anyway, hello. Welcome. How's it going? You're watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast, and it's a fun one. We're talking about the brand new Commander product.
Yes, so
the second time this year.
So we revealed the Dimir Rogue tribal deck, and now we're going to do our sort of traditional budget quick upgrade guides for both of these decks. This is going to be the Naya Landfall deck. What's it called? It's called Land's Wrath,
Land's
I think.
Land's Wrath.
Land's Wrath. So these decks are different than the Commander precons we've seen in the past, right?
Yeah, and the boxes, you can tell, they already do look different. These are actually tied to the set specifically, and they're not heavy on brand new cards. They're actually all about focusing on giving you sort of like an easy open the box, get in there, only three new cards, but it's a Commander experience, and it appears based on these two cards here that they're really based around mechanics. So in this case, the Landfall deck is all about Landfall.
Mm-hmm.
And Zendikar Rising is also all about Landfall because that is what Zendikar is about.
Yeah, that's true.
So it obviously fits pretty well within the theme of the set, and then there are going to be some cards that it seems that also share a spot in the main set that are here. But these are meant to be like really easy entryways into Commander that have hopefully some good reprints, as well as just an easy way to pick up a deck and play and, you know, have a decent. They've done a good job designing the decks recently, I'll say that much. So you're not going to pick up a dud.
Yeah, and well, there's only two.
Yeah.
But we're going to give you the 10 cards we think you should put in, the 10 cards we think you should take out with around a $25 total budget so that you can quickly get these decks up to speed and ready to play with your quote-unquote normal decks. Because I do think just like all pre-cons, these aren't out of the box going to really be able to tussle with the, you know, the sevens and the eights out there. But we're hoping we can get this pretty quickly and cheaply up to close enough to that level where you can at least play it. So first of all, though, before we get into that upgrade, we need to talk about our sponsors. If you want to order either of these decks, you can pre-order right now. You can pre-order all of the Zendikar Rising, the main set, booster boxes, bundles, collectors, boosters. Also, all the singles, or at least most of the singles, are available for pre-order right now. Go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's the best place to pick up all of your Magic cards, your Magic product, anything at all you need to play the game, because first of all, Card Kingdom has great customer service.
Yeah.
They have super fast shipping. Also, they are a sponsor of this show, so by buying your stuff there, you are supporting our content.
Yep, and you can also support our content by getting Ultra Pro product. You can get some of that on Card Kingdom, but you can also pick it up from your big box retailers, from your LGSs. I know all of them need our support these days. And not to mention, you're going to buy some awesome foils, some brand new cards to put in decks. You want to sleeve them up. You want to put them in a way that's going to make it easy to shuffle, fun to play, and also keep your cards safe. Josh and I have been trusting Ultra Pro for 5+ years now. Me, I have top loaders going all the way back to
when I
first had a Badlands when I was a kid. And
mine are from baseball cards.
Oh, that's my gosh.
Old. Yeah,
Ultra and they still hold up.
Yeah.
So Ultra Pro, obviously, they've been in the game for the longest. They know how to make great product. And by buying their product, you're also supporting our show. So look at that. Win-win.
You might open up one of those new Expeditions in a pack.
Oh, yeah.
Those are going to be quite valuable. You don't want them to get damaged in any way. So put it right into one of those new Ultra Pro Pro Gloss Eclipse sleeves. That'll keep it safe for sure.
And make it look great.
And the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/commandzone. Patrons get a bunch of perks, including being able to talk with Jimmy and I each and every day on our Discord, get deck advice from we have a whole host of veteran players on the Discord.
Yeah.
So tons of advice, not just from Jimmy and I, but from a lot of really, really experienced EDH players, and a lot of content creators hang out in there too, like Kyle Hill's in there all mm-hmm. the time.
We have a DJ in there.
Yeah,
we
also a lot have of our crew.
A crew, yeah.
Yeah, Ashlyn's in there all the time, and Murph and Jake and everybody. So
Craig just joined, yeah.
Yep. If you go to patreon.com/commandzone, again, that's the place to sign up. And also another perk is we shout out one lucky patron every single episode. This episode is dedicated to Simon Wellstead. Simon, you rock. One last thing, real quickly. We are still doing the Kickstarter for our Game Nights themed playmat.
Epic
the
play.
The Epic Play playmat with art by world-renowned artist Jesper Ising. In fact, we have a cool animation of that playmat. Let's play that animation now.
Roar!
Roar!
Yeah! So
this,
great.
Yeah, this is supposed to capture the feeling you have when you're crushing your opponents. It is a very limited time. The Kickstarter, the clock is running down on that. So make sure that you look in the show notes, click the link, go lock in your order because it's going to be over before you know it.
Yep. And then after it's over, you can't get it anymore. We get so many messages today being like, hey, can I get this or that? And we're like, sorry, the whole exclusive limited print thing was, well, for us, because it's really hard to store extra product, but also just, you know, to, when you get it, you get it.
All right, let's go to the main topic here. The Naya Landfall, Land's Wrath. Budget upgrade guide. Again, the rules are 10 cards in, 10 cards out, total budget of $25. We're going to leave the mana base as is. If you have shocks and fetches, of course, put those in. We're just not going to talk about too much. First, let's go through some of the new cards in the deck, because we haven't actually talked about this deck at all yet.
Yeah. And the commander, the lead singer of the deck, is a brand new card. It's called Obun Moldaya Ancestor. And the mana cost is 1 red, green, white, so that's Naya. It's a 3/3 legendary creature elf spirit, and it says, at the beginning of combat on your turn, up to one target land you control becomes an XX elemental creature with trample and haste until end of turn, where X is Obun's power. It's still a land. And Obun has a landfall, which says whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. So you can obviously target Obun himself, and then once you go to combat, he gets bigger. The land you create becomes a bigger 4/4, 3/3, whatever it is, elemental creature with trample and haste, and it's still a land.
Yeah, so Obun starts as a 3/3, which means that the turn you play Obun, I guess probably all your lands are tapped though, right?
Right, if it's turn 4,
it doesn't untap the land, yeah, so... I guess if it's turn 5 when you play him, you could immediately make the land into a 3/3. Yeah, I guess in that case, you would probably play Obun, then play the land, put the 1/1 counter on to Obun, and then make the land a 4/4.
Yeah.
So yeah, the lines are going to be interesting as far as the order that you play stuff. You could also play a land after combat to put the 1/1 counter on your land that's still a creature, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then it will go back to being a land, but have that 1/1 counter for next time. That's mm-hmm. a possible thing. Mm-hmm. I think you probably put the 1/1 counter on Obun. It's pretty interesting. It's, you know, we talked about how there are basically two types of decks that in the last couple years have gotten a ton of support. One is wheel decks.
Yep.
There are tons of wheel decks out there.
So many.
And the other is lands matter decks. There just seems to be these all over the place. But this one is interesting because it has white. Usually we haven't seen a Naya. It's always red and green almost. And then there's another color. It's often black. It has white. And also this one is sort of going in a slightly different direction in that the payoff is sort of creature combat stuff.
Yeah, and it seems, I mean, this is obviously not like the most intense and mechanically insane commander ever,
right.
But it's very easy to understand. And at the end of the day, like if you're making a bunch of 4/4s, if you have multiple landfall triggers, you're going to be able to swing in a lot, make creatures really big. And as we've seen with these Land Matters decks, they just have value all over the place. Because now you have it's basically every time you play a land, it becomes a spell. So you get one free spell a turn, which is interesting.
Turning your lands into creatures seems like it'll be fun. Now, normally there's multiple, for pre-cons, I should say, normally, there's like multiple legendary creatures and we kind of debate which one you should use as the commander. But this is not the case for this one. There is one, and it is literally the only legendary creature that comes in the deck that has the Naya colors in it. So if you want to play this deck, you will run Obun. Obun or Obu'un?
Obu'un!
If it was Hawaiian, it would be Obu'un. You will run.
You have to, yeah.
As the commander, because there's no other choices here that come with the deck. So there's two other new cards, though, we'll have to talk about first here. One is Trove Warden. It's 2WW for a 3/4 cap beast with vigilance. Has landfall. Whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, exile target permanent card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard.
Hmm.
And then when Trove Warden dies, put each permanent card exiled with it onto the battlefield under the control of that owner, that card's owner. It's presumably you. So you're going to exile three CMC or less cards from your graveyard as you hit landfall triggers. And then eventually Trovarden will die. Maybe you'll sack it or whatever. And all that stuff that got exiled will come onto the battlefield.
Whoa, this is very cool. It's got very Sun Titan ideas behind it. White seems to love the three CMC or less cards in the graveyard.
Yeah, that's, and they're playing with that more and more. Mm-hmm. And permanents too. So it could be lands, like fetch lands.
Right.
So this could be a way when Trovarden dies to maybe get three or four fetch lands into play.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't get rid of Trovarden, then this is a landfall matters deck. You've got fetch lands you're using on the battlefield. You're playing extra lands every turn. You could get a ton of value out of this card.
Actually, the landfall trigger puts the fetch land into exile with Trovarden by itself, right?
Because right, you sack
fetch
the land.
Land comes in, you hit landfall, you exile something. Then you sack the fetch land. It goes to your graveyard. Finds a land, puts it into play, and then you go, the fetch land that I just sacked? I'm going to exile that.
Wow. As long as Trovarden doesn't get exiled, so you'll want to have some sort of sack
yeah,
outlet.
Yeah, or blinked or something, or bounced. Because it does not say leave the battlefield. It says when it dies. So that's actually a really good point.
You need to hit the graveyard.
That's dangerous.
Well, at the very least, you're not losing anything you wouldn't get
otherwise.
Yeah, that's
true. It's like, well, those fetch lands weren't going to sit in my graveyard otherwise. Yeah. So.
But that's really cool. I think that's a great way for landfall, which now we see is something that each color can have, and this gives white card advantage. Which is exciting.
Okay, I want you to do something on the next card.
Okay.
Is just don't read the CMC.
Yet. Oh, gosh. Okay. I was going to say the CMC is the one thing that I'm...
Yeah, don't read the CMC yet.
This is Geode Ranger. It's a creature elemental. I won't read the power and toughness as well.
We'll have the editors cover the CMC for now.
Okay. It has first strike, and it says landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, goad each creature target player controls. And goading means until your next turn, those creatures attack each combat if able and attack a player other than you if able.
So it's a 4/3 with first strike. Yeah. Trovarden's a 3/4 with vigilance. And then the landfall trigger on this is goad each creature target player controls.
Yeah.
Trovarden had it's cool.
Recursion.
We know Trovarden was 4 CMC. What do you think if you didn't know the CMC of Geode Ranger would be?
I'd be like 4.
Right? It seems
matches Trovarden.
If you didn't see the CMC cost, which would you think was just a better card?
Oh, Trovarden.
Right. And so somehow, let's reveal the CMC for Geode Ranger. It's 6. Ugh. 4 red. Why the heck is this card higher CMC than the Trovarden, which is Trovarden's clearly a better card and is cheaper? CMC.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I mean, red obviously is classically just overpowered and the best color in the format. So they were like, we can't throw red such a quick bone, you know?
Yeah, I want to be clear. I don't think Trovarden should cost more because white, you know, historically has added a lot of, like, needs help. And
problems.
I think this is a good card and a really cool card. I think Trovarden sits in a good spot. But Geode Ranger, I think I would be really excited about it if it was 4 CMC.
It's actually unplayable, I think, in a lot of cases at 6. Because by that point, geez.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a cool ability, and I like goad a lot.
Yeah.
And I wish there was more goad cards. Why the heck is this 6 CMC?
I mean, it looks really big.
It's disappointing.
Maybe that's why, because the literal size of the creature.
But it's a 4/3 versus a 3/4, and Trovarden's 4 CMC, so we know those stats can live on something that costs 4 mana.
Yeah. And that's very similarly templated, too, right? It's got the keyword ability in First Strike on Geode Ranger, and Trovarden's got Vigilance. And Trovarden is just literally much stronger, but yeah.
So yeah, I'm curious of the choice internally that made them look at that and go, well, that should be 6 CMC, but this other one's cool at 4.
Do you think it sits fine at 5?
I think that's still too much. If it was 4, I think it's playable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because goad's actually not as powerful or even close as to what Trovarden's doing. So I don't think you need to like overcorrect by like making it cost more mana.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, those are the new cards. They're both still good in the deck, obviously, because they have landfall payoffs, and this deck's going to be all about putting lands into play. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the contents of the deck here really quick. Overall, there are the 3 new cards, which we just read. There are 21 basic lands. And 76 reprints. So we can see, we did the stats for the Dimir Rogue Tribal deck when we revealed it. Mm-hmm. It had a lot more basic lands. It had 30.
Yeah.
So this has more reprints because some lands are reprinted, obviously. It's 3 color, so that makes sense. Less basic lands.
And the lands itself are kind of important spells in this deck as well, so that makes sense too.
So let's talk about a big question with all of these always is the deck value. So I want to note that we're going to talk about the overall prices of the cards here. There are 2 things. One is the value we're going to talk about overall for the deck only takes into account the value of the reprints, not the new cards, because we don't know those prices yet. And the prices are all calculated prior to the decks being revealed, because we have to record these videos ahead of time, which is fine because we kind of get a baseline for what the cards were worth before people find out they're reprinted and the prices drop. And also, in this deck, there is one card that's technically a reprint.
Because it's from Zendikar Rising.
Yeah, but we don't know the price of that card either, so that's not part of this calculation. Right. That card is called Murasa Root Gazer. We won't read it here.
Who gazes at roots?
It's somebody's preview card, so we'll let them preview it. Okay, let's talk about the top reprints. Everybody wants to know, like, what are the big, expensive, hopefully, cards that are being reprinted. And there are a couple in this one, just like there were in the Dimir Rogue deck.
Yeah, it's interesting. The first is Omnath, Locus of Rage. And there's a brand new Omnath coming in Zendikar Rising as well. So it's fitting that this one is here.
The new Omnath is four color?
Yeah, it's four color.
So it can't go in this deck.
Everything but black. This is a 3 red, red, green, green, 5/5. It also has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under control, you create a 5/5 red and green elemental creature token. And then whenever Omnath or another elemental you control dies, by the way, you make elemental lands with Obun in the deck.
There's kind of an elemental sub theme in this deck.
Yep. So Omnath does 3 damage to any target. So this can be like a little pew-pew cannon at people if you are able to sack elementals or just have them die some other way.
Also, you can get into games where, like, you've got enough tokens where normally you'd be scared of a board wipe, but if they do that, you just kill them.
You just die, yeah.
Yeah. Omnath was $13 before this reprint was announced.
Popular commander, so.
Yeah, very powerful. And goes in all those landfall decks, and we know everybody has one, so.
Yep.
The next card, the next sort of highest value reprint is Admonition Angel. 3 white, white, white. So 6 mana for a 6/6 flying angel. Landfall. When a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may exile target non-land permanent other than Admonition Angel. And then when the angel leaves the battlefield, you return all cards exiled with it to the battlefield under their owner's control. Oh. So it's landfall kind of Banisher Priest something, right?
Yeah, get rid of stuff until it leaves the battlefield. You can also do it to yourself if you want cards that have enter the battlefield abilities. So.
Or sort of protect it, like, oh, well, if you get rid of this thing, then this thing's going to come back.
But it's target non-land permanent, so if again, if you have fetch lands, can play multiple lands a turn. You can play an Admonition Angel, crack a bunch of fetch lands, and then boom, all of a sudden, your opponents just have nothing left on board.
Yeah, really swing the board. That's cool.
Yep. The next one is, Admonition Angel, by the way, sat around $12. And the next one is a card that will get reprinted. I think now is the trend in every single commander product ever. It's Arcane Signet.
It's going to be like this and Sol Ring?
Yeah, this and Sol Ring for sure. The one in two spots.
Sorry, Arcane Signet.
Arcane Signet. 2 mana. Add 1 mana of any color in your commander's color identity. Obviously great in a 3-color deck. Great in pretty much any deck because it's a 2-mana ramp card that is guaranteed to add a color that you need. This was sitting at $6. And it's one of those cards that just kind of fluctuates like Sol Ring every single time that's out of print. It goes up, it gets in print, goes down.
It's going to be interesting because now we're getting more Commander Precons every year. That means more reprints for Sol Ring and Arcane Signet. Like before, it would come in the Commander product, but that was, you know, 4 or 5 decks a year. If we're looking at 10 decks a year, maybe we can actually keep the price down on those cards, which would be good.
Yeah.
All right. And the next top reprint, which is the last, and we should say we're categorizing top reprints in the deck as any card that was $5 or more.
Yep.
So this is the last one for this deck. It's Multani Yavimai's Avatar. 4 green, green for a 0/0. What? Elemental Avatar.
Classic has, green card.
Yeah, has reach and trample. But says, Multani gets +1/+1 for each land you control and each land card in your graveyard.
Hey.
And then you can pay 1 and a green and return 2 lands you control to their owner's hand. It means bounce them from play to your hand. Mm-hmm. And you return Multani from your graveyard to your hand. So Multani can kind of be recurrable at a pretty steep price.
Yeah. More importantly, though, you can get extra landfall triggers. Let's say you have like a bounce land or something. Those are really great for putting on the battlefield, getting a land back into your hand. So Multani can kind of get you into these little things.
Especially, you're like, I have no land in my hand, but I have an Admonition Angel out and I'd like to exile something.
Right.
Okay, bounce the lands and then play one.
And Multani, too, notably, if you can find a way to discard it, too, you can just use that 1 and a green ability to just have, you know, cost 2 mana to bounce 2 lands to your hand.
Okay, the next category is going to be the, you know, more notable reprints. These are the ones that are $2 or more.
Yep.
We're not going to read every card in the deck, obviously, so we're just going through the top reprints. Sol Ring, $4.50. I won't even read it. We didn't say Multani was about $5. Sol Ring, $4.50. You know what Sol Ring does. The next one is Rites of Flourishing, 2 and a green for an enchantment. Yeah, at the beginning of each player's draw step, that player draws an additional card, and at the beginning, and each player may play an additional land on each of their turns. So this is symmetrical effect for everybody, that was about $4.
But you're going to abuse that extra land much more than everyone else, ideally. The next is Mina and Den Wildborn, which is a 2 red green 4/4 that says you can play an additional land in each of your turns, and you can also pay red green to return a land you control to its owner's hand.
And give something trample.
Give something trample. Yeah, that was sitting around $3, and this is just a classic. I played the landfall deck this year, and boom, Mina and Den, number one entry.
Yeah, it's a gimme. The next one is a card that I think both of us are playing more and more.
It's fantastic.
It's Return of the Wildspeaker, 4 green for an instant. Says choose one, draw cards equal to the greatest power among non-human creatures you control. Remember, Obun will make elementals, so that's a non-human creature. Also, Obun's an elf spirit. And then the other choice is non-human creatures you control get +3/+3 until end of turn.
Also, Obun's creatures, yeah.
Yeah, it's a reason I really like this card is because the modes are so different. So in a state where I don't have a big board state, then usually I would like to draw cards in that instance. But when I do have a big board state, I don't want to draw cards. I want to start winning the game. And that's the point where I say, okay, pump the team swing.
Yeah, and it's power and toughness for +3/+3. So it's pretty good. Not to mention instant.
Yeah, and that was about $275.
Thank goodness they reprinted that. Kodama's Reach is next up, 2 green, and it's a sorcery with arcane. Doesn't ever matter, really. And you can basically search your library for up to 2 basic cards, reveal those cards, put one on the battlefield tapped, and the other into your hand. And that actually was
classic
climbing
land ramp with Cultivate, the same card.
Yeah, it's climbing up to 250, which is good. Again, these are just cards that you'll see in lots and lots of decks.
It's crazy how it was 250, but it's like pretty commonly reprinted.
Yeah.
It shows how many decks Kodama's Reach and Cultivate go into.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Abundance. It was about $2 before the reprint was announced. Enchantment. If you would draw a card, you may instead choose land or non-land and reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a card of the chosen kind. Put that card into your hand and put all the other cards revealed this way on the bottom of your library in any order. So Abundance allows you to be like, either I've got a lot of lands in hand, I definitely don't want to draw land, say non-land, and then you won't draw land. Or, boy, I need to hit my land drop, I don't have any lands in hand, or I got cool landfall stuff going on. I'm going to call land, and then I have to draw land.
Yeah, really interesting card, especially if you can start drawing multiple cards a turn. Then you can be like, I want to land a creature, and, you know, it's fun. And that was about $2. And same as this next card, Myriad Angel, 2 white-white for a creature angel with landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under control, you create a 1/1 white bird creature token with flying.
Landfall, make a 1/1 flyer. Pretty good.
Really good. This can be a game ender as well, especially combined with Return of the Wildspeaker.
Yeah, and a couple of fetch lands, and you can get 5 or 6 1/1 flyers really fast.
Yeah. So if looking at the reprints here, the cards that were $5 and over, there are only 5 of them. There are cards $2 and over, where there are 14. That includes the $5 cards and over, by the way. And so the total reprint value comes out to $85.90. Again, we're not factoring in how much the new cards cost, as well as that one card from Zendikar Rising.
We see this is quite a bit lower than the Dimir Rogue Tribal deck, which is like 106.
Yeah.
So there's a big discrepancy there in reprint value. If we compare this to the pre-cons from C20 from Ikoria this year, those averaged out to about $97.48 for the reprint value. And again, all of those decks had 20 new cards in them.
Yep. And a lot of those cards, like Fierce Guardianship, rocketed up in price. So it's pretty interesting. I think this is actually maybe the lowest reprint value we've ever seen in a pre-con. Not to mention,
we usually don't go into the 80s at all.
This number is going to dip straight down once all these cards are reprinted, because that's how it goes.
We should say, though, that one thing that has been implied by Wizards, not stated expressly, and again, they don't have MSRP anymore to sort of tell us these things, but sort of there's been a lot of implications that these decks are going to be quite a bit cheaper than our traditional precons, which have gone up into the $40 range recently. And they compare these more to like Planeswalker decks. So we're hoping they'll be in the $20 range, maybe $25.
That would be
fantastic.
That's
just a guess on our part. Don't know for sure, but there's been hints to that effect, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about our favorite category.
Stats.
All right, the stats of the deck. You want to run down the essentials here?
So card draw, there are 8 card draw spells. However, looking through the deck, some of them are a bit conditional. Actually, 3 to 4 of them are kind of iffy. They're not necessarily just straight, like draw some cards.
Yeah, some of them require you to meet a condition, which is tough, but but there's still about 8 cards that could draw you cards.
Ramp, however, there are 17 ways to ramp because there are 15 put extra lands into play cards and then 2 mana rocks.
Soul Ring, Arcane Signet.
Yep. That's actually pretty exciting. And then you wrote down here, not sure how to count Rites of Flourishing, which is a good point because...
Because is that a card draw spell and a ramp spell?
Yeah. And it's a symmetrical effect. And when you play it, you're down a card immediately. Not to mention, this is something that obviously actively benefits your opponents.
I didn't count it in either category, but if you counted it, then there would be 9 card draw spells and 18 ramp spells.
I think it counts more towards ramp just because your deck has so many put extra cards, lands into play effects, that that's sort of like the more important part of it. Board wipes, there are only 2, but notably they say destroy all non-land creatures or permanents, so that means your landfall creatures can escape.
Yeah, which when is you're turning your lands into creatures, destroying all non-land creatures is pretty good, right?
Yeah. Because those, by the way, it always says it's still a land on Obun when it turns it into a creature.
Yep.
9 ways of targeted removal. Pretty high.
That's pretty high.
And then this is the big synergy of the deck, which is landfall or land payoffs. And there are 21 of them. And of course, Obun himself is a landfall payoff. There are 37 lands, which is right around the normal. I would actually expect landfall decks to have a little bit more if you look at like Gitrog decks and all those. Those land counts are actually usually a bit higher. There are 6 lands that fetch, which is impressive considering that there are no fetch lands, actually like the fetch lands in this deck.
Originally, this category was called fetch land, and I'm like, well, that's just confusing because people think of like traditionally, like Polluted Delta and stuff as fetch lands. So these are lands that fetch, like Evolving Wilds,
right.
Terramorphic Expanse, that kind of stuff.
And then cards that get or give +1/+1 counters, and Obun is one of these, as well as it's one of the synergies on him. There are 10 of those, which seems a little bit high because it doesn't seem like the most powerful effect in the deck. 7 token creators and 1 mass pump spell. So the
And don't forget there are 9 +1/+1 counter payoffs.
Oh, right. So yeah, so there the sub theme here outside of landfall is you give or get +1/+1 counters, and then there are some +1/+1 counter payoffs, which is 9. So that's actually a decent chunk of the deck there.
Yeah, and the token creators, a lot of them are just tied to landfall because there's not really a lot of ways to take advantage of making a bunch of tokens because there's only 1 card, Return of the Wildspeaker, that can pump your tokens.
And you're probably going to be drawing cards a lot of time with that.
Yeah, so the takeaways here, I think you nailed it. The land count seems a little low overall. Normally, we see 40 or more lands in these Lands Matter decks.
They're so important to making the deck function at a high level.
We would want more fetch lands or lands that fetch. Obviously, we're in the $25 budget range here when we're going to talk about the upgrades, so we can't, like, say, put in Polluted Delta, but
there
are other lands that, you know, there's slow fetches and things like that. We'll talk about that a little later. +1/+1 counters, those stats there seem skewed to me. There were about 10 cards that give or get counters and 9 payoffs.
That's a lot of payoffs for the gives.
Yeah, exactly, right? It seems to me you might too often draw a payoff card and not have enough +1/+1 counters. So that is something I think we want to fix. And then lots of token creators, but not much to do with the tokens. So that's kind of a worry. That seems like a little bit of a road to nowhere in the deck design.
Yeah, and I think, like, in general, when you start splitting into 3 sub-themes, you're just going way too far.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel unfocused.
Totally agree. So one of our goals, I think, is going to be to sort of make choices, focus in on what we really think the deck wants to do, and kind of get rid of that extra, extra stuff. Okay.
Tune it up.
When we're going to do that, we're going to talk about the cards we want to add and the cards to take out. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Do you follow automotive news? Or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host slash two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good-looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.
All right, we are back, and we are talking lands with the Lands Wrath deck featuring Obun, Moldiah Ancestor. And it's time for the exciting part of the episode, which is what cards are we going to add to the deck and which ones are we going to take out? Like we just said before the break, we want to focus in on the sort of the strategy of the deck here and get it a little more refined. And so you can take it to a table, play with some friends. And of course, $25 is the total budget around that for this exercise. And those prices too will vary based on, you know, many things happen in the Magic world. And we can't always predict that the card prices we put down now is what's going to be even a week later.
Yeah, it's around $25 for right now when we're doing this exercise. No promises past that.
No promises.
Yeah, so I think we've never said this before, but I would guess that this deck's somewhere in the 4.5 range out of the box.
Pretty low.
On our power level, yeah. And we're hoping to get it into the 6 or 6.5 range with these 10 cards. Probably not 6.5, probably 6 with 10 cards, right? Yeah. 10 cards is not that many cards and it's cheap. But to be able to bump it that amount, you can play with the 7s or so when you're a 6.
For sure. And you always have politics on your side as well.
Okay, so cards to add. Here we go. First is the 2CMC ramp category. Now, Obun is 4 mana, which means if I ramp on turn 2, I will now have 4 mana on turn 3. Very important to get Obun out as early as possible because landfall is each turn for sure without any other effects. And so you just want to get that going as fast as you can. Get Obun's power up with those 1/1 counters so that the lands you turn into creatures are bigger. So I think it's really important, and there's not very much 2CMC ramp in the deck, really, like Arcane Signet.
Yeah.
Which in a deck like this isn't even necessary because you have so much other ramp and you want lands. But I wouldn't say take it out because I want to cast Obun on turn 3.
It's actually a little worrying that they didn't put some of the cards we're about to recommend in the deck considering they're just such slam dunk easy fits.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's talk about the cards. Listen, we're going to name like 4 or 5. If you don't have to put all of them in, you know, just as many as you can. 2 or 3 is probably going to help the deck quite a bit.
Yep. The first is Rampant Growth, just a classic 1 in a green. Search your library for a basic land, put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. And because Obun only has 1 mana of the 4, that's a generic mana cost, you want to be able to fix your colors as well.
Yep. I don't think we have to read the specifics on the rest.
Yeah.
They all can get a land into play, and they have varying costs. So Farseek, Sakura Tribe Elder, Nature's Lore, and Knight of the White Orchid, which Knight of the White Orchid is a little bit iffy because it says it's white-white for a 2/2 with first strike, but when it enters the battlefield, if an opponent controls more lands than you, unlikely to happen in this deck past turn 4 or something,
yeah,
right?
No way.
Because you're going to have cheated more lands in play. But if they do, you may search your library for a Plains card, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Here's the thing. I think it's so important to be able to play Obun on turn 4 that I would run Knight of the White Orchid because on turn 2, I'm likely to have an opponent that has more lands than me. On turn 6, I'm not.
Because, no way, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a little tougher, too, because the white mana cost.
Yep.
So, but especially if you start adding in cards that tend more towards white, then that'll be really easy to hit.
Okay, so a few of the 2CMC ramp. The next category is more landfall.
Yeah.
In a deck like this, you could never have too many landfall triggers.
Yeah, and anytime you can get value off of it, again, being in red, green, and white means you don't have access to great card draw. You got some, so you're going to want to get some cards that just have value printed all over them. And this is an amazing card. I think it's super underrated. Every time I see it, it just does so much work. It's Tireless Tracker.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, it's a human scout ready to investigate. It's sort of got like old landfall on it, where it doesn't say landfall, but it says whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, investigate, which means you get a colorless clue artifact token. You can pay two and sack that artifact to draw a card, and then whenever you sack a clue, you get to put a plus one encounter on Tireless Tracker. So that's like multiple
plus one counters matter for a lot of the cards in the deck, and you just want to draw cards off of landfall triggers, and this is a really great way to do it. Yeah
you're going to get a bunch of artifacts off of this card.
And something to note, I like how you said this doesn't say landfall, but it starts with the same text that landfall does.
Yeah.
Because in some set, like, you can't just go on Gatherer, type in landfall, and pull up all the cards that have landfall, because in some sets, they didn't have that keyword.
Like, as a part of the main set, yeah.
But they still wanted to have what would normally be a landfall trigger, so you kind of need to type in whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control into Gatherer to find all these type of cards. That's a nice little tip.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that.
This next one's a card that's being reprinted in Zendikar Rising, and we know about it, and therefore it dropped the price of it so that it could now be included within our budget range, which is great because this card's insane. You saw Jesper Ising use it in a recent episode of Extra Turns to great effect. It's Lotus Cobra. One and a green for a 2/1 snake landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, add one mana of any color.
Wow.
This is like, it doesn't sound like much.
Yeah,
right?
It feels like, oh, it's only that turn. I get one extra mana. I don't know if that's worth it. It's a creature slot. Eh.
One extra mana per turn, first of all, is a lot. That's like a mana rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
But fetch land. Now it's two extra mana in the turn.
Yeah.
But you play a card that lets you put an extra land into play. You have Mina and Den out. All of a sudden, Lotus Cobra is giving you 2, 3, 4 extra mana in a turn. That's an entire turn that it just gave you worth of mana.
Yeah, and this also means that if you have this by turn 3, you will be able to play Oboon again because you play a land. It's your fourth land for turn, or third land for turn, and then boom, you get that extra mana. This also makes cards like Terramorphic Expanse really good because when you play it and fetch it, you're getting 2 mana off it even though that land enters the battlefield tapped. If it was untapped, yeah, you could tap it for one more then, but Lotus Cobra just makes sure that you always get value and you're always able to play on curve and competitively too.
Yeah, and we're seeing this at about $6 right now because of the reprint announcement. I would say, like, regardless of whether you're building this deck or not, pick up a Lotus Cobra or two because that card's going to climb back up. It was in the 20s for a while there.
Yeah,
so.
And it's great in Commander too. Yeah, every time I see it, I'm just like, wow, doing work.
All right, now let's talk about the next category, which I'm calling Land Advantage.
Ooh.
So this is like, there is an advantage to be had where your deck strategy revolves around lands.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a permanent type that there's a lot of cards that wouldn't be good in most decks because most decks are using lands just to tap them for mana once in a while. Yeah.
I like this card a lot. It's called Terra Eternal, especially in a deck like this. 2 and a white for an enchantment. All lands have indestructible. So this is a symmetrical effect. Everyone's lands are affected, but it doesn't really matter for your opponent's lands. No one really runs that much land destruction outside of like your strip mines. But in your deck, this means all your creatures that become lands are now indestructible, and they have trample and haste because of Oboom when they become creatures. So you just get these menaces on the board that can swing in for a ton of damage, and people are very hard-pressed to block it.
Yeah, that's one of the great things. Even if they can maybe trade or use it, you know, a spell that destroys...
Right.
Could you
imagine having to path a land?
Yeah.
That would feel so bad.
I mean, but it is like pretty dangerous to turn your lands into creatures because if somebody wraths or things like that. Now, obviously, you're doing one at a time with Oboon, but there are other effects in the deck that turn more of your lands into that. But this makes that a lot more safe where somebody can't just completely blow you out.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. The next one is Tomic, Distinguished Advocist, white for a 2/3 flyer. Human Advisor, legendary creature. Lands on the battlefield and land cards in graveyards can't be the targets of spells or abilities your opponents control. So they can't target your lands anymore. Actually, they can't target each other's lands.
Yeah,
either.
It's funny.
And then it says your opponents can't play land cards from graveyards. Just incidental gravy there that they can't, like Crucible of Worlds and that kind of thing. But the fact that like your lands kind of get hexproof...
Right.
Is another way to sort of protect what will end up being a large segment of your creature base.
And this card's only 2 mana.
Yeah.
I love low efficiency, easy to cast cards because they're just going to make a much bigger impact across the game. Next up, one of our favorite board wipes, Tragic Arrogance. 3 white-white for a sorcery. For each player you choose from among the permanents that player controls, an artifact, a creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker. Then each player sacrifices all other non-land permanents they control.
This card's so underrated.
Yeah, it's
every time it gets cast, you're like, oh, it's such a blowout.
Because you choose.
Yeah, they choose. Well, I say they because it's been recently cast against me. But you choose the worst things your opponents have and the best things you have.
Yep.
And that's what people keep. And the fact that your lands aren't a thing that gets chosen and lands are so core to your strategy means that you keep the bulk of what you've got.
And the more important parts of your deck, too. The fun thing, too, is if they have an artifact creature, you can choose it twice.
Yeah, that's so, your artifact. Oh, and that's also your creature.
It's just like, no. My 1/1 Thopter, I thought it was so great. Now it's the worst card on my battlefield.
Yeah, this card's really, really good.
And it's only $2, too. I think this is just one of those board wipes that you will always... You're always going to get a pretty good result when you cast it.
Allows you to keep your commander, so you can cast this, keep your commander, boom, turn my land into a creature, and now everybody's at most only got one creature, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my big hasty trample. Yeah, exactly. And then we're going to move into the last category here, which is finishers. I think both of these decks, the Rogue deck and this deck, suffer from... They don't have a lot of ways to win the game in them.
Yeah.
So this is a category for both decks that I would concentrate on making sure, because that's like a rookie move, right? You build your whole deck and it's got cool synergies, but oh yeah, how does it win?
Can't push through the last bits of damage here.
Now this one has inherent ability to do that a little bit more because it's eventually creating really big lands with trample.
Right.
But still, let's talk about some finishers here. Again, I'm going to cheat a little, and there's three cards that are very similar.
Interesting.
So there's Sylvan Awakening, Natural Affinity, and Rude Awakening.
Awakenings here.
Yeah, and they all do the same thing in sort of different manners, but basically they say all lands you control, or in one case, all lands,
right,
become 2/2 creatures that are still lands. So you spend a lot of the game putting a bunch of extra lands into play, so you've got more lands than everybody. Then you turn them all into creatures and presumably swing. Rude Awakening is probably the best of the bunch because you can entwine it and untap all lands you control. Now that costs 8 mana to do it, but you wouldn't do this if you don't have a ton of mana, because if you've only got 4 lands, you don't really care if they're all 2/2s. They don't do much.
Yeah. And even if you have like 10 mana, then you actually come up, you actually get some mana.
The 2.
And there's going to be a lot of cases where this deck has just the most lands in play by far.
Yeah, and then Obun also could turn one of those into a elemental creature and, you know, still make it big. So this is your alpha strike mode with one of these cards. I would put like one, probably Rude Awakening, although it is the most expensive of the bunch at $1.
oh, big budget.
Yeah, but I just wanted to give all three options there. And then, you know, given that there's a bunch of token creators in the deck, we may be trying to win by turning all our lands into creatures. I think you probably want to add one or two more ways to sort of mass pump your team. So, you again, Alpha Strike.
Yep. One of them is Unbreakable Formation, which is a blowout and limited. 2 in the white, creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn. It's an instant, by the way. And Addendum, if you cast a spell during your main phase, put a +1/+1 counter on each of those creatures, and they gain vigilance until end of turn. Ooh, so lands with vigilance are amazing, because now you swing out, maybe kill a player, and then tap your lands to cast another big thing or whatever it is from your hand, 2 cards from your hand.
And again, you're liable to have tokens from Omnath, tokens from the Amiri Angel, tokens from things like Rampaging Baloths laying around. And so also, we know +1/+1 counters is part of the deck, so that part is also relevant.
Yeah, good card. I like that.
This next one's interesting. Beastmaster Ascension, obviously a card that's played quite a bit. It's around $5, one of the more expensive cards that we're recommending here. But it interacts with Obun in an interesting way. So it's 2 and a green for an enchantment. Whenever a creature you control attacks, you put a quest counter on it. And then as long as Beastmaster Ascension has 7 or more counters, creatures you control get +5/+5. Nice. So the interesting thing is, if you can ever get the 7 counters on Beastmaster Ascension, tends not to be super difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Obun gets +5/+5, then...
Oh, right.
He makes a land that's 5 power more than he would have made, and then that land gets +5/+5.
So it could be a 13-13?
Just very...
It comes as 8-8? Wow.
And that's if Obun has no counters on it,
right,
and you don't have any of these other effects. So that can get out of control pretty quickly. So that's the reason I like Beastmaster Ascension. Also, it's way cheaper than Craterhoof and Triumph of the Hordes. So.
Don't play Triumph of the Hordes, though. Come on. Why'd you even say that, Josh?
I mean, it would be one of the options, you got
to
admit.
Yeah, it's true. It definitely is.
If you wanted to go to the dark side, the Craig side.
Craig side, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Now that we've talked about cards to put in, let's talk about the cards in the deck that we would recommend taking out. And Josh actually put down 13 cards here so that you can bring your land count up to 40. Josh, how generous of you.
Yeah, yeah. So 10 for the cards we said to add, and then 3 more for adding lands. And you could just add basics, but we're going to recommend some lands at the very end. But just get that land count up to 40. I think any lands matter deck, you want at least 40 lands. I wouldn't even mind going closer to 45, honestly.
Yeah, you want to hit a land every single turn. It's not a bad thing in a deck like this.
Yeah. All right, the first one is Treacherous Terrain. This is 6 red, green for a sorcery. Treacherous Terrain deals damage to each opponent equal to the number of lands that player controls. It has basic land cycling for 2. You can discard this card, search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library.
That part's better than the other part.
I mean, this is just a bad card. 8 mana for what? Deal
10.
7, 8, 9 damage to each opponent is just not worth it. And then you don't care about the basic land cycling. This, again, this deck's going to have 40 lands in it.
And it's a 3-color deck. If this was a 5-color deck...
And there's 17 or 15 ways to find lands other ways.
Yeah. If this was a 5-color deck, basic land cycling has a bit of a higher upside. But in this case, this is just an overcosted card. You don't need it. Yeah. The next is Sylvan Advocate, which is a 1 in a green, 2/3 Vigilance Elf Druid ally. And as long as you control 6 or more lands, Sylvan Advocate and land creatures you can control get +2/+2.
It gives land creatures you control +2/+2. I get it. But it's just too low impact, I think, for a 2-drop slot. I want to be Rampant Growthing on that turn.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Would you rather Rampant Growth or play a creature on turn 2?
Yeah, I mean... I want a Rampant Growth, Lotus Cobra, something that's going to move me into the game. And then it's like, it's a 4/5, and it gives +2/+2. If it gave Ubuntu +2/+2, that'd be a little bit better.
Yeah, and Ubuntu, again, it only makes 1 creature per land that enters the battlefield. Or actually, no, it only makes 1 land because it's not about landfall. It only makes 1 land creature per turn. So it's not like you want land creatures, right? If this was all about, like, make every land a creature, then this deck would have, this card would be a little more powerful, but it's not.
Yeah, there's only a couple cards in the deck that, other cards in the deck that make lands into creatures. Mm-hmm. All right, the next one is Spore Mound. 3 green green for a 3/3 fungus. Landfall, whenever a land enters battlefield under your control, create a 1/1 green sapling creature token. It's just too much mana for that effect.
It's cute, but it ain't no Amiria Angel. No, that's for sure.
Exactly. That's 1/1 flyers, and it's on a 4
mana card. Next is Satyr Wayfinder. 1 in green, when it enters the battlefield, reveal the top 4 cards of your library. You may put a land card from among them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. Not so great.
There's just not very many ways to play with your graveyard in this deck. I think this Satyr Wayfinder is very good in a lot of decks.
Also, just play Steve instead.
Yeah.
Zakura Tribe Elder is much better at that 2-drop slot.
Yeah, because it puts a land into play. Satyr Wayfinder is into your hand.
Yeah.
The next one is Yavimaya Elder. 1 green green for a 2/1 human druid. When it dies, you may search your library for up to 2 basic land cards, reveal them, put them into your hand, then shuffle your library. And you can pay 2 and sacrifice the Yavi Elder and draw a card.
I used to love this card, but it's just not that great.
Yeah, because nothing goes into the battlefield. This is a card draw card. This is not a ramp card. And it's 5 mana for 3 cards.
Yeah.
Just Harmonize is already in the deck. That's 4 mana for 3 cards. There's just more efficient ways to draw cards than this.
Not to mention, you are going to have, again, you're going to have a lot of lands in the deck. You'll be drawing them anyway. You don't need Yavimaya Elder to help you out in that regard.
This next one's interesting because it looks good, but having played it and tried it out multiple times, I'm going to tell you it's bad.
All right. Seer's Sundial, 4 mana for an artifact landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 2 if you do draw a card. Is 2 mana just too much?
2 mana is too much. I think if it created a clue or something where...
Oh, interesting.
But the fact that when the landfall happens at that moment, I have to pay the 2 makes it a lot harder to use.
Mm-hmm.
So you just end up... And also think of the rate here, right? 6 mana for 1 card, 8 mana for 2 cards... 10 mana for 3 cards. At what point are you happy? This is just not efficient enough.
Yeah, actually, I don't think you're ever happy.
No. Maybe at 100 cards you're happy, but then you lost because you milled yourself out.
Yeah, good job.
The next one is Living Twister, red, red, and green, so 3 mana for a 2/5 elemental. You pay 1 and a red to discard a land card. Living Twister deals 2 damage to any target. And you pay a green, return a tapped land you control to its owner's hand. It's just too low impact, right? 2 damage is not enough. You don't really want to be discarding your lands generally. Yeah. And then, yes, it is nice to be able to bounce a land back to your hand to play it and get landfall. But I want that on a card that is also doing other things that I want to do. This is just not...
You'd much rather have something that fetches because you can play it and it'll get another land on the battlefield that turn. The next is Tuskguard Captain. 2 in a green for a 2/3 with Outlast. You can pay a green to tap it. And put a +1/+1 counter on it, and you can only do that as a sorcery. And then each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it has trample. Oh, it's a +1/+1 counters matters card, but it's way too low impact.
Yeah, and Obun's already giving trample to your land.
Yeah, right.
So you already have the ability to have a big trample-y creature. And yeah, there's these dream scenarios where I have a bunch of creatures with 1/1 counters and they all have trample.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, if you have a bunch of creatures and they all have 1/1 counters, the trample's not as important because people don't have a bunch of blockers.
Right.
Right? So I just think Tuskguard Captain is just, it's a good limited card. That is not a good commander card generally.
Yep.
Next one's Elite Scale Guard, 4 and a white for a 2/3 human soldier. When it enters the battlefield, you bolster 2, which means you choose a creature with the least toughness among creatures you control and put 2 1/1 counters on it. And then whenever a creature you control with a 1/1 counter on it attacks, you tap target creature defending player controls. Here's the thing, the bolster, rarely going to be able to put those counters onto Oboon, which is where you would want to put them.
Right.
So then it's just like, oh, maybe Elite Scale Guard's a 4/5. And yeah, you can tap down creatures as you attack, but again, your creatures are going to be bigger and not super worried about getting blocked. This is just too much at 5 mana.
Yep. That card was nuts and limited, though. Holy moly. The next is Abundance. We talked about this card earlier. It's this weird 4 mana. Instead of drawing a card, you can choose land or non-land, reveal it until you find that card of your type, and then you draw it. And then you basically can sort of customize what cards go into your hand, whether it's a land or a non-land.
The next one is Multani, Yavimaya's Avatar. This is going to shock some people. It's 4 green for... Reach, trample, 0/0, gets +1/+1 for each land in your graveyard and on the battlefield, and then you can pay 1 and a green and return 2 lands you control to their hand, to your hand, and return Multani from your graveyard to your hand. Again, 6 mana, just a big kind of dumb beater. Yes, it has reach and trample. I just think we can do better than what Multani's giving you, because we already are getting big creatures because of our commander
right.
with trample.
Embodiment of Insight is the final card, 4 and a green, creature elemental, 4/4, vigilance, and land creatures you control have vigilance, and has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may have target land you control become a 3/3 elemental creature with haste until end of turn. It's still a land. Why don't we like this one?
Because, again, turning my lands into, like, 3/3s is not super helpful, right? I don't know why I said again. We didn't say that before. I don't think that's going to be great later in the game for a 5-mana card.
Right.
So I think, like... Oboon's going to make them into huge creatures. Embodiment of Insight is going to make them into sort of little, medium creatures.
And you're not trying to swarm, right? We've decided that that's not one of the main strategies of the deck either.
And 5 mana is just so much. I just don't like 5 CMC cards that aren't like really, really good. And the Vigilance, like you said, it's good on lands, but it's just not worth as much as like Trample or something, which we already get. So, yeah. I mean, we got to make cuts, right? I'm not saying that card's horrible in the deck or embarrassing. I just think
if you like
find
it,
better.
Yeah, it's okay. You can keep it in there.
There's actually one more, but we skipped it because we talked about in the earlier section. It's Rites of Flourishing. So 2 and a green for the enchantments. At the beginning of each player's draw step, that player draws an additional card, and then each player may play an additional land on each of their turns. Here's why I don't like this card in this deck. First of all, like you said earlier, Jimmy, you're playing a card. You're using one of your resources on Rites of Flourishing, and everybody's drawing extra cards off of it. So you're always down one card overall, no matter how many cards you get drawn out off of it in the long run. I also think of this math. If everybody else is playing one land per turn, but I'm playing 2, I'm playing twice as many lands as any given player.
Nice.
If everybody's playing 2 lands per turn, but I'm playing 3, I'm now only playing 50% more lands. So I think actually giving your opponents the ability to hit at your land drops, it diminishes the advantage you're getting from a lot of your cards allowing you to play extra lands.
Yeah.
So I'm already playing extra lands with a bunch of my cards. I don't need to give my opponents a way to catch up. And that's also, if I become the arch enemy, that's 3 land drops I'm giving them versus...
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you are the most powerful, they're going to team up and then boom, that effect all of a sudden gets really... And 3 lands and 3 cards.
Yeah. So I don't like cards like Rites of Flourishing that much.
Unless you're playing a group hug deck or whatever, then I think it can be a lot more fun.
Okay. So those were the cards to take out, and then we're going to go to a couple of sections here that I just want to talk about really quick. So add more lands that fetch if you can. Again, we made room for 3 more lands in this deck. The 2 that I would most recommend are the slow fetches. So these are from, what is this, Mirage?
Yeah, they're old school. They're basically fetch lands that come into play tapped, like Mountain Valley, and then you can tap Mountain Valley or sacrifice it and search your library for a mountain or forest card, put it on the battlefield, and shuffle your library. So the turn you play it, you can't use it. However, it does act almost completely functionally like a fetch land after that.
Yeah, it's basically a Wooded Foothills after it untaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a Wooded Foothills that comes into play tapped.
Yep.
Actually, it's better because you don't lose the life.
Right.
There's Grasslands, which is the Celestia one. So those are 2. They're not amazing, but the fact that you want double landfall triggers on so many cards, I think makes them good enough in this deck that I think they're... And you don't have a lot of lands that come into play tapped in this deck. There's a few. So I think you can afford 2.
Well, if you're playing extra lands as well, like you're going to be up on mana, you may be totally fine putting a land that comes into play tapped because you get the landfall trigger, and that is honestly the most important part of the deck.
And then Fabled Passage. Now, this is not a cheap card. It's about $6. but that's sort of the next best cheapest fetch land that you that might fit in our budget range. So this one, what was it, Eldraine?
Yeah. It's been reprinted a couple times since, I think.
So it's a land, you sacrifice it, you search your library for a basic land card, put it onto the battlefield, tapped, and then shuffle your library. Then if you control four or more lands, you untap that land. So you're obviously going to play this after you've already got four lands out, and it's your fifth, and then...
This is an untapped fetch land for basic lands.
Oh, sorry, it's your fourth land. And then
Yeah.
That's why it's $6, though, because it's pretty good.
Pretty darn good.
And then if you do all that, then I think you should probably play Ramina Excavator.
Which is two in a green for a 2/3. You may play land cards from your graveyard. Thanks, creature.
Because at that point, you'll have lands that fetch in the deck. In that case, you're likely to have one of those. And if with Ramina Excavator, if you at least have one fetch land in your graveyard, now you're guaranteed to be able to play that thing every turn. Yep. Okay. And finally, an honorable mentions category, because I got talked out of putting this into the main category. So I was showing this
Who to talked you out?
Murph.
Oh, Murph. Thanks, Murph.
So the honorable
appreciate you, buddy.
The honorable mentions category is, I'm calling it artist stacks. So here's what I noticed when I was looking through the deck after making the changes, was that there are only four artifacts in the entire deck.
Ah, interesting.
So in because we're...
Our ramp is sorceries all, and yeah, fetch lands.
So to me, I was like... Okay, well, if I have a deck that only has four artifacts in it, then I can run Artifact Hate because it's just not going to hurt me.
What
and
a monster.
So many decks out there rely on their artifacts to keep up with what I'm doing, right? They're going to play lots of Mana Rocks and things like that. So I would play things like Kataki's War Mage, which is one and a white for a 2/1 spirit, but it says all artifacts have at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice this artifact unless you pay one.
Rough.
It gets rougher. Stony Silence, Melissa Dottora favorite. One and a white for an enchantment. Activated abilities of artifacts can't be activated.
Yep. Again, you only have Arcane Signet and Soul Ring, it seems like, in this deck, so that's pretty good.
Yep. And then finally, Collector... How do you say that?
Oofy. I don't know.
One and a green for a 2/2. Activated abilities of artifacts can't be activated.
Yeah, so these are kind of hate bear E, but the main thing is you're putting stacks card against artifacts. You are the lands matter decks, not the artifacts matter decks. You go up against, I mean, geez, any mono red deck, a Brea deck, any of those artifacts
matter. Mono blue decks.
Yeah, they are going to get hosed by these cards. And honestly, I kind of like them in here because this deck isn't massively powerful, right? At the end of it, it's still a 6, so...
Yeah, so maybe you can sort of nerf those 7s and 8s that are relying on artifacts.
And boy, you're going to get so much value off of playing a single Stony Silence in a game like in Commander. Like, you'll be amazed at just how many people go, oh, no!
Yeah, oh, crap, none of my stuff works.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to be clear, I don't actually think that most of these are stacks cards, but it was fun to call the section artifacts.
Yeah, they are,
they're hate bears.
Hate bears, yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay. Well,
it's like wearing one of those weighted vests when you train. It's just going to hold you down a little bit more. You can't do a pull-up as well.
All right, to the listeners, what do you think about this Naya Landfall Lands Wrath deck? Are there any cards that you think are like must-includes that are in our budget range? Mm-hmm. Don't forget that part that we didn't talk about. I think Xenagos is a card I really wish, but it's $26 all by itself. Double Ogun's power, then create a double large land that you then...
Smack. Yeah, that's actually pretty sweet.
So we'd like to hear from you what your recommendations would be for this deck out there. And then if you're going to order this deck, go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone, pre-order one of the decks, both of the decks, Zendikar Rising, Booster Box, Collectors, Boosters, whatever else. They've got like 27 different kinds of booster packs now. I don't know what's in any given one. You should probably just get all of them.
I just like how they call it booster fun, but to me it's like booster headache. I can't keep track of them all.
Booster confusion. They must have some kind of research that's telling them like confusing our consumer is good for us, right?
Yeah, because when you walk, I mean, I can just see myself when I first went into Magic, I'd walk into a store and be like, I don't know what to buy. And be like, that looks fun. It says collectors on it.
Wait, I have no idea what that is. Like, even as a seasoned player, I have literally no idea what comes in half of those boosters. Like, can I get a showcase art, borderless, whatever out of that pack? No clue.
Is it different than an extended frame full art? I don't know. There's so many names here. I can't keep. I can't even. When I go and look stuff up, I'm like, oh, I want to see what all the cool cards are from this set. I'm like, I don't know what to put in. And of course, if you're not buying the sealed product, if you're international, get a single Trove Warden. This card's going to be really sweet, I think, especially in the decks that can abuse it the most.
With fetch lands and stuff?
Yeah, and also just in like any deck that runs a Sun Titan.
Yep.
Trove Warden seems like it fits well there.
All right, and then if you do find yourself in possession of a borderless full art showcase, non-foil,
box topper,
that's probably going to be worth a little bit of money, and you want to keep it safe. So make sure you use Ultra Pro products to protect all of your game pieces. They have the new Pro Gloss Eclipse sleeves, which mean that your foils are now going to be just as vibrant as if they're not in a sleeve. This is kind of a game changer, I know, for a lot of people, because Eclipse sleeves are the best shuffle feel on the market by far. They last forever. I now have decks that have been in Eclipse.
They're the apocalypse.
Yeah, for multiple years, and they're none have ripped, and they keep your cards super, super safe. Not just that, but Ultra Pro comes out with all kinds of other cool products. They're our go-to for printing our Epic Play playmats. Links to the Kickstarter are in the show notes. Go click on that right now.
And they have that Mythic collection as well for those deck boxes. They look so nice. They fit the magnets, and they got that embossed Planeswalker logo.
Oh, yeah, the stitched Planeswalker logo.
Yeah, it looks really
super
nice.
Super classy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, no end step on this episode because these are bonus episodes. But do look forward to the Dimir Rogue Tribal upgrade guide, which will be coming out, I'm not sure the date, soon.
Very soon. And if you want to find out more about that deck, we actually did the deck reveal as well, which will be on the channel. Okay. Big shout out to our editing, graphics, and logistics team, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Alfred the Saka, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Lillian, and Sam Waldo.
Woo! Woo! So long listen, I gotta add one. I want to shout out Sean Tabaris.
Oh, yeah.
From the Commander's Brew, who we've actually been enlisting his help to write the scripts for our ads.
Yeah.
So if you notice, we're doing funny little skits for some of our ad stuff, and Sean's been doing a really good job keeping those funny and making them magic related.
Yeah, and we appreciate the comments about that as well.
Yeah. All right, special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the living card animations that begin every episode of the podcast and also live behind us. We're here on Zendikar.
Yep.
On set. So you can find Jeffrey at Living Cards MTG on Twitter.
Okay. Dimir's up next, but this episode's over. So we'll see you next time.
Peace.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly. Which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.